Let's begin now.
Welcome into Monday Night After Hours. Dusty Likens with you. James with you as well. Till 9 o'clock. The ramp up to the more exciting sports stories will still be another 2 weeks. Or at least another week. Right? You just got to get to Monday. This is like the end of the month until you get paid and you can go to the grocery store. Tonight, we're eating leftovers. Kind of time in sports. There's nothing in this house to eat. Yeah, right. Still spaghetti left. There's still some lunch meat. Make yourself a sandwich. You're at that point right now with sports. That's the best analogy I can give. But I want to be real quick. You know me. I'm not really a serious guy. I'm not really a take time out of the day to think about me. But I want to dedicate this show tonight to one of my good friends who is no longer with us. She was a dear friend of mine. And 5 years ago, maybe some of you remember, we started a GoFundMe here, and a lot of people, or I did, for this person. 5 years ago, my friend Kira was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Sunday, that battle ended. She was under the age of 30. Dear good friend of mine, her husband, good friend of mine as well. I hate cancer. I hate unexpected early deaths. And I just want to use this time to express that enjoy it. Life, that is, right? Continue to stay positive. This young woman taken way too early. Lost her life on Sunday. And, you know, it sucks. So, my only advice to, you know, people out there that maybe have gone through this or going through this or have had unexpected turn of events in life that just seem unfair, man, just hug your family members a little tighter tonight. You know, call your family members, and, you know, just have a quick conversation with them because you never know. But, man, what a hell of a fight. Brain tumor, five plus years of battle, but no more pain. So tonight's show goes to Kira, and I mean that with the bottom of my heart, and we'll continue to power through. But I just wanted to take a little bit of time out of that to let that happen and let you hear that and hope that you can do something with that, you know. But here we are. We're on After Hours. I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate you guys all. We're watching numbers grow, so that's really fun because season two of After Hours of Consistency is about to come to a completion because the Royals are getting ready to start. I've got a Royals topic tonight. I know some of you are just like, feed me football. Give me L'Jarius Sneed information. I don't have any, like, other than the fact that he's got a franchise tag, right? You know, Chris Jones, that news. We don't know that, right? Tampering starts Monday. Free agency is Tuesday. The draft is 52 days away. That's what we can give you. That's what we can tell you so far. But the news that we got today in the sports world that you were also very blessed with early in the morning was the Mike Evans news, right? And I'd like to know, obviously I'm not going to know, but I want to know how many people like looked at Mike Evans as a pipe dream or were like really serious to think the Chiefs were going to get him. The only thing of this story that I would say is different than anything that I can possibly imagine is that he actually re-signed with Tampa. Because I thought after last year's saga in the preseason of things where Mike Evans was like, well, you know, I'd like a contract. I'd like to play. I'm going to sit out until I get it. And then he played week one. Had a typical Mike Evans year, right? 1,000 yards, 10-plus touchdowns, super dependent, reliable, awesome. And then we wake up this morning to the news that Mike Evans is going to be officially re-signed for a two-year, $52 million deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Pro Bowl wide receiver, All-Pro wide receiver, maybe even Hall of Fame wide receiver, Mike Evans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have agreed to terms on a two-year contract to avoid free agent. This, according to his agent, Derek Gilmore of Day One Sports and Entertainment. Now, the buzz in Indianapolis during the scouting combine was that there were going to be a bunch of teams that were ready to pounce on Evans in free agency and offer him a boatload of money. The Buccaneers surely knew that. So they stepped up financially in recent days to get this thing done about a week ahead of the negotiating period where Evans could have talked to some other teams. He is going to be paid, I'm told, amongst the top wide receivers in the NFL. It is very rare to see that for a player who on opening day this year will be 31 years old. But listen, he's been in the league for 10 years, all with Tampa Bay.
So the market's set there for Mike Evans. 2 years, 52, big contract, don't really ever see this, and he's staying home. He's going to finish his career most likely in Tampa Bay. Maybe he'll go do the one-year deal somewhere else, and it's one of those Julio Jones-type things. You never know. But I will say that Mike Evans, I think, was always a pipe dream. And I don't think the Chiefs were ever going to land somebody like Mike Evans. And I also have a take that I thought about today that I've been building throughout this offseason, that you keep the idea of the number twos, right? And I hear me out here. I understand that last year through the first 7 weeks, it was like, all right, let's go look at free agency. Let's see whose wide receivers are available. Oh, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman Jr., Calvin Ridley, all those names that pop into your head. And you're like, okay, what if? And you have to tell yourself, did the Chiefs continue to struggle in that department at the level that they did in those first 7 to 8 weeks? And the real answer is no, right? Because something emerged, and that something was a someone, and that someone is Rashee Rice. And I think if you look at it from a Chiefs point, and maybe this is a homer take, Rashee Rice might be going into his second season is either a top three or a top two wide receiver two on a team. Like, as a rookie, and in the amount of time that he was given to actually stretch the playbook and show the trust to the team that he could do it, Rashee Rice was the number one option for Patrick Mahomes, and it wasn't even close, right? There was Travis Kelce, there was Rashee Rice. We're talking about wide receivers. And I think at some point within that season and the trust that got built and the production that you saw come with Rashee Rice's game in this offense with this quarterback and head coach combination, the Chiefs might have changed their thought process a bit and might have said, okay, we're definitely going to draft a receiver. There's too many, and the talent is too rich and deep in this year's draft. And thought to themselves, yeah, there's three legit top-tier wide receiver ones in free agency, or a couple of good top-tier wide receiver twos. Like, I think this team could be super productive if you were to have a Rashee Rice, a T. Higgins, and then a young rookie wide receiver that you've drafted that hopefully you can develop like you did with Rashee Rice, right? You gotta tell yourself, the expectations for Sky Moore are gone. The expectations for Kadarius Toney have fallen flat. MVS is already no longer a part of this team. And Mecole Hardman, you know, he was here to be a Band-Aid in a system that he knew that he could fix a little bit of the problems with and scored a game-winning touchdown, and your legacy is forever sealed and cemented in Kansas City. Congratulations. That's great. Not sure they bring him back. Almost would doubt that they would even be a possibility. But I think throughout this season, obviously wide receiver was a need. Wide receiver one was a need. But then you found out that you might have something here, and if you go look at the free agency wide receiver list, it's quite deep, and there's quite a bit of options that you think or you could see working with Patrick Mahomes, right? Like a Curtis Samuel. And I know that Cal Ridley's name floats around, and a lot of people, look, I think it would work. He had a up and down roller coaster season last year, but I think that the mindset of the Kansas City Chiefs might have changed a little bit with what we saw in the production and what was rolling well with Mahomes and Rashee Rice. And you're still bringing back Travis Kelce. But we've noticed that in this early set of Patrick Mahomes' career, his best style of receiver, I know Tyreek Hill is an anomaly because it was just early in the year of Mahomes where it was like, hey, you just go down there, we'll find you, and we'll make it work. Plus, Tyreek Hill was drafted, developed here, so it wasn't like he was a free agent. They went out and got and paired him with Patrick Mahomes. Just kind of like a gift that came with the house. But Sammy Watkins worked really well with Patrick Mahomes. Juju Smith-Schuster worked really well with Patrick Mahomes. And Rashee Rice has worked really well with Patrick Mahomes. Those big-bodied guys that you can move in and out of the slot and run outside and throw them a little six-yard pass and let their body size and speed kind of develop has been what we've seen that really makes Patrick Mahomes that guy, right? And when Tom Brady made things work the best in New England, at least fluid-wise, obviously the Randy Moss year was fantastic in 07 where they went 16-0, but where that offense kind of seemed like it was untouchable was when they ran those two tight ends together in Gronkowski and Hernandez. And they really had something there. Just one guy was a complete, well, loser and went off the deep end. But if the Chiefs, in my mind, can find somebody that they liked, again, they found Rashee Rice last year, right? Moved up in the second round thanks to Detroit switching out that pick, drafted Rashee Rice. He was there, developed, and then they found out how good he was throughout the season and opened up his role a little bit more. So if you can, in fact, find another receiver in this draft that is deep at wide receiver and fast wide receivers, right? Xavier Worthy kind of took us all by storm on Saturday. But if you could pair him with another big-bodied style receiver or a good solid number two option, this Chiefs offense could flourish, could be a new level of change in the system of the NFL, because what we've seen is that the Chiefs do something great, teams try to stop it, they find an audible to fix that sort of way that they're stopping it, change their style up, and they've done it every time it's been that way, right? You look at the Tyreek Hill year, they took away the deep pass, made Mahomes underneath, figured it out. This past year, nobody could catch the ball. They found out that the rookie really knew what he was doing. When the answer was called, he was going to be able to take care of it. And it worked, and they fixed it, and now they've got a new option. Why don't we just get these sort of prototype wide receivers and run them wild throughout the field and see if teams can stop it then? Snead and Jones continues to be the storyline. Snead, franchise tag was placed. Chris Jones, there is some audio of Adam Schefter on Pat McAfee's show about what we could think a contract of when and how much could be coming and what that means for the Chiefs and that whole running with two wide receivers instead of going and getting a big name number one. Mike Evans again today agrees to stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's off the board and the market has begun to be set here in the NFL. That's James. I'm Dusty. You're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on After Hours. Man, I feel like I don't go to the movies anymore as much, and I probably should. A couple of my buddies said they went and saw Dune 2 this weekend. I think I'm going to have to watch the original or the first one again. With Timothy Chalamet. That's a movie that'll get me to the theater. Like those types of movies, you just got to suck it up and go. My buddy said that the movie theater he went to serves beer and that he got a Tank 7 and the guy working must have been doing the Lord's work because he asked him, would you like 16 or 32 ounce? 32 ounces of Tank 7? You wouldn't remember the movie. I don't know. But I did just see the House of the Dragon season 2 coming out in June. Love that. And I had no idea about this, but there's a Bad Boys 4. Yeah.
I didn't even know they came out with a Bad Boys 3.
Oh, yeah, they did. Martin Lawrence tweeted an hour ago, wrapped, nothing but magic every time I'm with my guy. See y'all June 7th for Bad Boys 4. Huh. It would be funny if they had like a cameo of Chris Rock in that movie. Never know. 913-586-7610, Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Thank you all for the love and support. We appreciate that. It is staying lighter later. Love that. I think Sunday you lose an hour of sleep. That's all right. Sun's starting to set a little bit later. I love that. I don't know if this is a serious question, but the text line just said, Dusty, would you consider going to the opera this Saturday night? I've never been to an opera. I've always said I wanted to go to like more out of my comfort zone things, like going to the like KC Symphony at like the Kauffman Center. I think that'd be amazing. Going and seeing like a play at Starlight in June, I think that'd be great.
You ever seen TSO?
No.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Nope.
Oh my.
I bet it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's not something that I would necessarily pay for. I won tickets here from Odyssey.
Yeah.
At one point before I worked here.
And it was great.
It was really cool. Lasers, a bunch of laser shows, and smoke coming out. You know, right. But it was an orchestra, so you know, it was about as fun as it can get.
Yeah, I feel like I'd put myself in that mindset and I'd be okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and have a couple drinks too.
Yeah, you know? I like to every once in a while, you know, get in the black tie affair type, because that's not normally my lifestyle, but sometimes I like to think it is.
Sure.
You know, put the suit on, hit the town.
I had steak and lobster the other night, and that's how I felt when I cooked it. You know, pulled that lobster meat up out of the tail,
dude.
Set it right on top. Oh, it was great.
Yeah, you can't wear sweatpants on that dinner.
You're right.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you what, man. Oh, man, I get goofy over like stuff like that. Like once a year, we'll go out as a group of people. We'll go to like we went to the Town and Company, like salmon crudo. Beef tartare. I'm not eating that kind of stuff, but I'll eat it once a year. Thing, you know, pinky out, glass of wine. That's for sure. Man, lobster tail. Good Lord. Or a lobster roll. Give me one of those. You know what I mean? That'd be nice. There was a little bit of some news today on a Chris Jones possible deal. I don't know how much of it is noteworthy, but this was Adam Schefter earlier today.
It's not done yet, but they'd like to get it done. They'd like to bring him back. And we're talking about, I think that they would be surprised if it didn't get done. But the other tags that are out there, Brian Burns will get tagged in Carolina. Okay. Josh Allen will get tagged in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Michael Pittman will get tagged in Indianapolis. Justin Madubuike will get tagged if they don't get a deal done. There's four tags right there, right? In addition to Snead, who already got tagged.
So Adam Schefter thinking that a deal might or should get done with the Chiefs and Chris Jones. And I think there's a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, maybe that's being inconsiderate. Maybe there's a few people that would think to themselves, why did last year, you know, why was last year such a mess, but this year they're eager to sign him? I think there's a possibility that maybe the Chiefs knew, hey, next year the salary cap's going to go up. It's going to spot. We know it is. There's just too many rumors around it. There's too many endorsement deals. The salary cap's going to go up. We'll have more money to spend next year with Chris Jones. We'll give you a heavy incentive contract this year. And then next year, we'll get a deal done. And that's why I think when you look at this offseason with the Chiefs, L'Jarius Sneed, Chris Jones, wide receiver, free agency, the Chiefs have to look at this, and I think they might have, you know, reassessed that. Like we talked earlier with the development in the play that was Rashee Rice, I thought that was probably something that maybe was a little bit of a surprise for how well he got better at the game as a rookie. Because really, we've never seen a whole lot of rookie wide receivers in an Andy Reid offense really come up that quickly, and Rashee Rice did.
I know a lot of fans were holding that excuse for one Josh Gordon.
Right.
Oh, it's a hard playbook. Got to give him time. You got to allow him to develop and yada, yada. Rashee Rice did excellent.
Yeah. And he did it in like the most critical time of the season when they shrunk the playbook, focused in on he, Isaiah Pacheco, and that letting everything else develop. So then you think about where the Chiefs are at, and they say, okay, the salary cap's going up. We're not going to be able to keep Jones and Snead. But if we tag Snead and we can get a second and a fifth, right? And maybe one of those turns into a compensatory pick and you get a fourth out of it or even a third out of it, maybe just because of, you know, the way that he plays in a new contract with a new team. And the Chiefs look at it as, look, next year we'll be able to give Chris Jones a 3-year deal with a 4-year option on the fourth year, which we know how that always goes. They play the 3 years. The fourth year, they cut the player. They save the money. They walk. Chris Jones will be 31, 3 years, 33, 34. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs get their defensive lineman that they had. And Friday night, we were telling you all, and we had Beakley on as well, the Chiefs are a better team next year. And I know this might sound foolish and dumb to you, but the Chiefs are a better team with Chris Jones than they are without him. Which means something's got to go. And when you have a Trent McDuffie, a Williams, and a Watson, and, you know, other corners that you have drafted and have filled in quite well, you've got to think to yourself, in the trenches is where we want to be, you know, extremely better than everybody else, right? Would it be nice to have two essential number one corners on your roster? Of course. Some teams don't even have one. And this is one of those things where the league is evolving, right? And you might be able to get a team who is desperate for a number one corner, who got torched last year by wide receivers, who's willing, because they have money plus the additional cap money, to go out there and overspend, which you're going to see a lot of that because money is more fluent this year with the rise in the cap. Like, Darnell Mooney's going to get a ton of money. That's another wide receiver that a lot of talk of Kansas City free agency and wide receivers are starting to lean towards. Another number two, right? That sort of vibe is starting to fit what the Chiefs might be able to do. And if they're not going to go pay a lot of money for a wide receiver one, they're not going to pay Legarius Sneed. They're going to have money to go get a couple of wide receiver twos and sign a guy like Chris Jones. And when you have a guy like Chris Jones who can allow pressure, keep Karlaftis getting even better in his third year, help develop a rookie that you drafted last year that you didn't see a lot of and feel like in Duke Azama. And then you all of a sudden you kind of have that same gel up front. And then you can go and you can give Jones a little bit more of that money this year, give him the deal that they think he's going to get, and he comes back with this team, and that defensive front is still a force to be reckoned with. And not only that, the defensive front that allows pressure causes quarterbacks to get rid of it quicker and makes the job easier for the corners. So Chris Jones staying around is more of a positive than maybe keeping Legarius Sneed over Chris Jones. I get it, right? You just had one of the best, if not the best, Super Bowl runs with a team in the last 6 years under Patrick Mahomes, right? The first one's always sweet. The second one felt great because it was Philly. And then this one, they earned it. And Legarius Sneed was a big part of that. So I understand that there are some people that might be a little hurt if they have to see one of their favorite players or one of their better defensive players leave. It is what it is. Coming up on the other side, speaking of the salary cap and speaking of what the season is, 18 games. We're really going to do it. We're like 3 years into a new schedule, and the NFL is thinking about moving on to another game. What that means and what should change for everything. You thought a $30 million increase in the salary cap was big this year? Oh, just you wait until they go to 18 games, and the demand players will then see, and the league will see when it comes to the Players Association of the NFL. It's James, I'm Dusty. You're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
This March, Wendy's is fueling the madness with amazing deals on their hamburgers made with fresh, never frozen beef.
Like a juicy Dave's single for a buck and a fresh $2 Dave's double with an app offer.
It's such a good deal, we wrote a little ditty about it.
Get it for a buck. Dave's single, order in the app. Dave's single, get it for a buck. Choose wisely, choose Wendy's official hamburger March Madness.
Limited time offer, participating U.S. Wendy's. See offer details and redeem the Wendy's app. Account registration required. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Alaska.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text JUDGE to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text JUDGE to 42424. That's JUDGE to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, this is Brett Veach, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Here on After Hours, Dusty Likens with you, James with you as well. Florio is kind of a gosh, I don't know. A turd sometimes? Maybe that's rough to say on an emotional day. I should probably be a little bit more kinder to that. Because I don't know him personally. I don't know the Florio man personally. But I find it hilarious that 8 minutes ago he tweets, "We're picking up a very credible indications that Kirk Cousins is planning a potential move of his family from Minnesota to Atlanta." Okay. Whatever you say, Kirk. Atlanta. I've been to Atlanta once. I heard the airport's hectic, as you could imagine. But yeah. It was announced today, for those of you that are wrestling nerds, that Paul Heyman was going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I could have sworn he was in like a long time ago. And I just found out today he's going to go into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. They always do that around WrestleMania week. James, you're a pretty big wrestling guy. You got a pretty big event coming up this weekend. Yay, nay?
Yeah. So if you're a wrestling guy like myself, there is a new local promotion that has been started up. It's called Fountain City Pro, right? And their first event is March 8th. It is going to be a big one. So like CSW, Central States Wrestling, and Journey Pro, they kind of fell out, and now Fountain City Pro is here, and they're going to have a great event. It's going to be loaded. Tag team matches. They got a Battle Royal event coming out.
Okay.
A six-man tag team, women, men, you know, if they could legally get kids in there, I'm sure they would.
All demos.
So Ball Event Center.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see you guys out there. I'm going to be out there. Okay. I'm going to be doing some video for my guy, Ball Event Center in Olathe. Tickets are on sale right now.
Where do you find them?
You can go to fountaincitypro.com.
Nice.
And you can purchase them there. Here is the lineup for any of you that are like local independent wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got Ray Leon versus Kenny Alfonso. Davey Vega versus Gary J for the Destination Championship. And then the main event is the Quad Father, Camaro Jackson, versus All Steel J Fowler.
Okay.
You can't miss it. You can't miss it. It's going to be a super, super exciting show.
Love that. The Ball Event Center?
The Ball Event Center. In Olathe? In Olathe. Doors open at 6.
Okay.
The first bell is about 7:15.
Mm.
Come see me. I'd love for all y'all to come out here, see me, and chat it up with me, and have a good time. Watch grown men beat up on each other.
That's right. The Quad Father? That's a great name.
The Quad Father.
I love that name. The Quad Father. What would your what would your finishing move be if you were a wrestling star?
You know, back in the day, this is a funny story. Pardon me. Back in the day, we used to, me and actually the guy that's running Fountain City Pro, his name's Chase Riley.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do backyard wrestling.
Oh, Lord.
We called it XAW, Extreme Amateur Wrestling. Man, we did everything. We had steel trash cans. We had a trampoline that we were jumping off of. We had a table that I smashed my buddy Richie through. So, real simple. My finishing move, because we weren't very technical back then, was just a powerbomb. I literally would powerbomb people onto the ground.
Damn.
Absolutely insane.
I think if you grew up in like the 90s during the Attitude Era and you had a trampoline in your backyard, you probably had some sort of like wrestling ring going on. In fact, I know that I like semi-fractured my neck because I went to a chiropractor like 3 years ago, blew my sciatica. And he like looked at my neck and he goes, "You might have back problems because of this." And he had like an x-ray of like a bone in my neck that had like stuck out and was kind of like, I don't know, either like interfering with the nerve at times or whatever it might have been. And he was like, "Do you ever do anything as a child?" I'm like, "I remember the exact moment I think that you're referencing, because I did like a front flip off the top of my deck onto my trampoline. And when I landed on my neck and I lost all air. Like I couldn't breathe." And, like, my friends were, like, freaking out. They're, are you going to be all right? And I'm just like, literally, that's, like, what I was doing. And, you know, we had, like, fluorescent light bulbs. It lasted, like, 2 weeks. And then our parents came home or, like, saw that, like, one of us had a massive cut. And they're like, what are you guys doing? And, yeah.
That's always, like, the worst feeling. I mean, not just, like, in wrestling, but in anything you do. You get the, like, climbing a tree and you fall out of it and you get that wind knocked out of you. Oh, man, it is the worst feeling.
It's not great.
Anxiety to the max.
Not great. And then one time I got power slammed on a fold-out couch, and where one of the, like, metal hinges was hit the back of my head, and it just felt like someone hit me really, really hard. And I was like, ow, and I went and, like, put my hand on my head, and I, like, came back down, and there was just, like, a puddle of blood in my left hand. Well, me being the weak stomach guy that I am, I saw that and just got completely woozy. And I just put my head down, and I put a pillow over it, ruined a pillow, because there was just this giant red, like, just blood spot from that. But anyways, Dusty proud father moment when my now 34-year-old pinned his Hulk Hogan doll. He hooked the leg. That's right. Gotta hook it.
Hey, shout out to Sting, too. I don't know if you
saw
that.
He's done, man.
He did retire. They had a whole deal for him for AEW.
I saw the thing that blew my mind was they showed Sting and the first ever like wrestling arc like game, and it was just so blurry, so just way out of touch from like 1991, and then they showed Sting coming down the ramp or flying into the ring for his final appearance. I was like, these are like 35 years apart. But was never a Sting guy, unfortunately. Never really got into the whole, you know.
Who was your favorite?
Gunn, man.
Billy Gunn, yeah.
I was captivated by the Attitude Era and DX, and loved Triple H, loved Billy Gunn. Really liked the New Age Outlaws. It was probably like my favorite group. Knew the whole thing, knew the song, loved the Famouser. It was my move. But anyways, go ahead.
I really liked the Road Dogg Jesse James.
Yeah, man.
In the same line, what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, they were great. I wasn't really big into, like, X-Pac or, like... Not really into that guy. The 1-2-3 kid. Anyways, real quickly before we go to break, because I want to give roses where roses need to be given. 18 games, good hell. I don't know, man. The NFL supposedly wants to advance its scheduling of the regular season to 18 games. That salary cap better double from $30 million to $60 million next year if you're going to add an extra game. Because if you do add an extra game, it makes the season that much longer. It makes the playoffs, where we had a Super Bowl be played on February 11th, now probably going to be played around February 18th. And you know the season is going to start in the second weekend of September. Not only that, you're going to have to add another bye week in the season. That's going to be interesting. And if you are going to have an 18-week season, I think the NFL and their playoff structure should bring back two teams that get a bye in the playoffs. And no, I don't think this like is an advantage to the Chiefs, and that's why we're having this conversation. I just think it's just what the league needs. Because not only are you getting two byes, an extra bye in the regular season because you're playing an extra week of games, right? Now you would play, or I don't know, they won 18 games, right? So now you're playing 20 weeks of a regular season NFL with two bye weeks throughout the season. You get one in the first quarter, or one in the first half, one in the second half, right? You think you get one in your first nine games and one in your back nine games. You've also got to space it out. Like if you get an early bye week in the first half of the season, you're going to get a, what, late bye week in the second half and vice versa. You get a late one, that can't work. Because if you get a bye week in like week 8, how much sense does it make to get a bye week in like week 12? But if you get a bye week in week 3, and then you get a bye week in week 13, that's how you have to do that. And how you can consistently do that throughout the week, obviously more plans will be unveiled, but as of right now, that is the talks, that is the rumor. We've already brought up the new rules that they just finally came up with that they're thinking about considering for the next season, which is lasers for your yardage markers, which I don't know why they haven't even begun to think about that. That's how they use things in the EPL or in UEFA or MLS, they use that for telling off sides. But hey, we're just like 7 years, 6 years removed from a referee using an index card to see if it was a first down or not. We still use chains. But again, 18 weeks of a season. Is it too much? Is it okay? Do you love football too much to care? Do you think this hurts the product of on the field? Does it help the product? I mean, we went from 16 weeks in a season to 17, blinked an eye, and we're having a conversation of an 18-game season. I don't know. I just think let's just keep something until we try to consistently change it.
And I think this change, if it does go to 18, mm-hmm. this is a little bit different than when we went to 17, because we were already playing that much football, or mm-hmm. the Chiefs were. They just took away one of the preseason games
right.
and added it to the regular season. Now we're adding an additional week completely. So, I mean, it's a little bit different than the original change of schedule or change of games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, now we're starting to creep into, like, player safety issues. And then what you were just saying is, like, the bye week issues. And
mm-hmm.
and then also, to your point, I also agree that there should be two bye weeks in the playoffs.
I mean, there should be at least two teams that get one.
Yes, that's yeah. what I meant.
Right. There should a 1-2 seed should get byes again because you get no – I mean, going 18 weeks, that just seems a bit egregious to me. Keep it at 17 while you just changed it. Seems like it was just 2 years ago that rule changed. But I don't know. Maybe I've just developed into a grouchy old man that just wants to see things stay the way they are. Either way, an icon, a legend, and a Hall of Famer called it quits. The allergies are going to kick up. The dust in the air might get a little bit more heavy. But Jason Kelce deserves his roses as he announced his retirement today. We will play you some audio and have some opinions on where we think about Jason Kelce and his career that was a Hall of Fame and absolutely stunning career. As he called it quits today. This is After Hours. It's James. I'm Dustin. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. Back in on After Hours, first hour flying by, second hour just around the corner, 8 o'clock, we'll do the out of left field question. The other news of the day, that's why I say the NFL goes into the offseason, but what offseason is that? I'm curious to know, because it just consistently seems to run the world of sports, even when it's not even being played. But today, outside of the Mike Evans news, outside of maybe what you heard with Chris Jones or LeJarius Sneed talk or Kirk Cousins and going to Atlanta, Jason Kelce announced today that he would retire. His press conference was, as you could imagine, full of emotions. Travis Kelce tears, Donna Kelce tears. I never really saw Papa Kelce, but I'm sure a proud dad there. And Jason Kelce also in tears as well. But I thought it was nice to see a lot of the different videos you got. This was one that the editor of the New Heights podcast put together, and it's classic Jason Kelce.
I'm going to take a second to talk to you about underdogs. You know what an underdog is? It's a hungry dog.
In the pride of Cleveland Heights High School, Jason Kelce.
I've flown out to Philadelphia. I think I'm really going to enjoy wherever I end up.
Yeah, baby!
I love you, brother.
How bad do we want it now? You know what's coming. Oh, yeah.
Hungry dogs run fast. And that's this team. Now, who the biggest underdog is? It's y'all, Philadelphia. Y'all have been waiting for this.
Thank you for your help.
It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. No matter what we face, we've overcome it. Nobody counted us in all year. I'm just so happy for every single one of these guys. I'm so happy for this organization. It's been a long time coming, and I'm so happy for the city of Philadelphia and our fans, because you guys have deserved this for a long time.
All the players, all the coaches, the front office, we wanted it more.
You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 2 years, you've been starved in this championship.
And the fact that I have been able to provide that, it's That's awesome, man. You did it. You did it.
Jason Kelce, a real one who hangs it up in the NFL. Not only that, but the Kansas City Chiefs gain a super fan. Gotta think, right? He's got no football to be played. I'm sure TV contracts will be out the wazoo for Jason Kelce. And for those of you that follow other local media personalities around here, Harold Kuntz of Fox 4, after the Baltimore game, got to pull Jason Kelce aside with one of the better interviews. You get to hear somebody from not your team who plays in the league talk about, in fact, your team.
They're in the dance. They're in the show. It is so hard to make it to the Super Bowl. They've been in, what, four of the last six? So, I mean, it's remarkable to think of, you know, how good they've been in this tenure since Pat Mahomes has taken over. And, you know, obviously unbelievably happy for them. Unbelievably happy for Andy. And I can't wait to be in Vegas to watch this matchup.
I think it's great that he kind of got to have his time. Now, we had Adam Schefter, who was a one-time Richard of the Week because he had to be the guy and had to say, hey, guess what? Jason Kelce plans on retiring at the end of the season. He told his teammates, like, all right, Adam, you know, that's one of those, you know, kiss my ass and just relax. And today, there was the emotional send-off. There was
Alonzo, Davey Vega versus Gary J for the Destination Championship. And then the main event is the quad father, Camaro Jackson, versus All Steel J Fowler.
Okay.
You can't miss it. You can't miss it. It's going to be a super, super exciting show.
Love that. The Ball Event Center?
The Ball Event Center. In Olathe? In Olathe. Doors open at 6.
Okay.
The first bell is about 7:15. Come see me. I'd love for all y'all to come out here, see me, and chat it up with me, and have a good time. Watch grown men beat up on each other.
That's right. The Quad Father? That's a great name.
The Quad Father.
I love that name. The Quad Father. What would your finishing move be if you were a wrestling star?
You know, back in the day, this is a funny story. Pardon me. Back in the day, we used to, me and actually the guy that's running Fountain City Pro, his name's Chase Riley.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do backyard wrestling.
Oh, Lord.
We called it XAW, Extreme Amateur Wrestling. Man, we did everything. We had steel trash cans. We had a trampoline that we were jumping off of. We had a table that I smashed my buddy Richie through. So, real simple. My finishing move, because we weren't very technical back then, was just a powerbomb. I literally would powerbomb people onto the ground.
Damn.
Absolutely insane.
I think if you grew up in like the 90s during the Attitude Era and you had a trampoline in your backyard, you probably had some sort of like wrestling ring going on. In fact, I know that I like semi-fractured my neck because I went to a chiropractor like 3 years ago, blew my sciatica. And he like looked at my neck and he goes, you might have back problems because of this. And he had like an x-ray of like a bone in my neck that had like stuck out and was kind of like, I don't know, either like interfering with the nerve at times or whatever it might have been. And he was like, do you ever do anything as a child? I'm like, I remember the exact moment I think that you're referencing, because I did like a front flip off the top of my deck onto my trampoline. And when I landed on my neck and I lost all air. Like I couldn't breathe. And like my friends were like freaking out. They're like, are you going to be all right? And I'm just like, literally, that's like what I was doing. And, you know, we had like fluorescent light bulbs. It lasted like 2 weeks. And then our parents came home or like saw that like one of us had a massive cut. And they're like, what are you guys doing? And yeah.
That's always like the worst feeling. I mean, not just like in wrestling, but in anything you do. You get the, like climbing a tree and you fall out of it and you get that wind knocked out of you. Oh, man, it is the worst feeling.
It's not great.
Anxiety to the max.
Not great. And then one time I got power slammed on a fold-out couch, and where one of the like metal hinges was hit the back of my head, and it just felt like someone hit me really, really hard. And I was like, ow, and I went and like put my hand on my head, and I like came back down, and there was just like a puddle of blood in my left hand. Well, me being the weak stomach guy that I am, I saw that and just got completely woozy. And I just put my head down, and I put a pillow over it, ruined a pillow, because there was just this giant red, like, just blood spot from that. But anyways... Dusty proud father moment when my now 34-year-old pinned his Hulk Hogan doll. He hooked the leg.
That's right.
Gotta hook it.
Hey, shout out to Sting, too. I don't know if you
saw
he's
that. Done, man.
He did retire. They had a whole deal for him for AEW.
I saw the thing that blew my mind was they showed Sting and the first ever like wrestling arc like game, and it was just so blurry, so just way out of touch from like 1991. And then they showed Sting coming down the ramp or flying into the ring for his final appearance. I was like, these are like 35 years apart. But was never a Sting guy, unfortunately. Never really got into the whole, you know.
Who was your favorite?
Billy Gunn, man.
Billy Gunn, yeah.
I was captivated by the Attitude Era and DX and loved Triple H, loved Billy Gunn. Really liked the New Age Outlaws. It was probably like my favorite group. Knew the whole thing, knew the song, loved the Famouser. It was my move. But anyways, go ahead.
I really like the Road Dogg Jesse James.
Yeah, man.
In the same line, what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, they were great. I wasn't really big into like X-Pac or like... Not really into that guy. The 1-2-3 kid. Anyways, real quickly before we go to break, because I want to give roses where roses need to be given. 18 games, good hell. I don't know, man. The NFL supposedly wants to advance its scheduling of the regular season to 18 games. That salary cap better double. From $30 million to $60 million next year if you're going to add an extra game. Because if you do add an extra game, it makes the season that much longer. It makes the playoffs where we had a Super Bowl be played on February 11th. Now probably going to be played around February 18th. And you know the season is going to start in the second weekend of September. Not only that, you're going to have to add another bye week in the season. That's going to be interesting. And if you are going to have an 18-week season, I think the NFL and their playoff structure should bring back two teams that get a bye in the playoffs. And no, I don't think this like is an advantage to the Chiefs, and that's why we're having this conversation. I just think it's just what the league needs. Because not only are you getting two byes, an extra bye in the regular season because you're playing an extra week of games, right? Now you would play, they won 18 games, right? So now you're playing 20 weeks of a regular season NFL with two bye weeks throughout the season. You get one in the first quarter, or one in the first half, one in the second half. Right, you think you get one in your first nine games and one in your back nine games. You've also got to space it out. Like if you get an early bye week in the first half of the season, you're going to get a what? Late bye week in the second half and vice versa. You get a late one, that can't work. Because if you get a bye week in like week 8, how much sense does it make to get a bye week in like week 12? But if you get a bye week in week 3, and then you get a bye week in week 13, that's how you have to do that. And how you can consistently do that throughout the week, obviously more plans will be unveiled. But as of right now, that is the talks. That is the rumor. We've already brought up the new rules that they just finally came up with that they're thinking about considering for the next season, which is lasers for your yardage markers, which I don't know why they haven't even begun to think about that. That's how they use things in the EPL or in UEFA or MLS. They use that for telling off sides. But hey, we're just like 7 years, 6 years removed from a referee using an index card to see if it was a first down or not. We still use chains. But again, 18 weeks of a season. Is it too much? Is it okay? Do you love football too much to care? Do you think this hurts the product of on the field? Does it help the product? I mean, we went from 16 weeks in a season to 17, blinked an eye, and we're having a conversation of an 18-game season. I don't know. I just think let's just keep something until we try to consistently change it.
And I think this change, if it does go to 18, mm-hmm. this is a little bit different than when we went to 17. Because we were already playing that much football, or mm-hmm. the Chiefs were. They just took away one of the preseason games
right.
and added it to the regular season. Now we're adding an additional week completely. So, I mean, it's a little bit different than the original change of schedule or change of games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, now we're starting to creep into like player safety issues. And then what you were just saying is like the bye week issues. And mm-hmm. and then also, to your point, I also agree that there should be two bye weeks in the playoffs.
I mean, there should be at least two teams that get one.
Yes, that's yeah. what I meant.
Right. There should be a 1-2 seed should get byes again because you get no. I mean, going 18 weeks, that just seems a bit egregious to me. Keep it at 17 while you just changed it. Seems like it was just 2 years ago that rule changed. But I don't know. Maybe I've just developed into a grouchy old man that just wants to see things stay the way they are. Either way, an icon, a legend, and a Hall of Famer called it quits. The allergies are going to kick up. The dust in the air might get a little bit more heavy. But Jason Kelce deserves his roses as he announced his retirement today. We will play you some audio and have some opinions on where we think about Jason Kelce and his career that was a Hall of Fame and absolutely stunning career. As he called it quits today. This is After Hours. It's James. I'm Dustin. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. Back in on After Hours, first hour flying by, second hour just around the corner, 8 o'clock, we'll do the out of left field question. The other news of the day, it's why I say the NFL goes into the offseason, but what offseason is that? I'm curious to know because it just consistently seems to run the world of sports, even when it's not even being played. But today, outside of the Mike Evans news, outside of maybe what you heard with Chris Jones or Legarius Sneed talk or Kirk Cousins and going to Atlanta. Jason Kelce announced today that he would retire. His press conference was, as you could imagine, full of emotions. Travis Kelce tears. Donna Kelce tears. I never really saw Papa Kelce, but I'm sure a proud dad there. And Jason Kelce also in tears as well. But I thought it was nice to see a lot of the different videos you got. This was one that the editor of the New Heights podcast put together, and it's classic Jason Kelce.
I'm going to take a second to talk to you about underdogs. You know what an underdog is? It's a hungry dog.
The pride of Cleveland Heights High School, Jason Kelce.
I've flown out to Philadelphia. I think I'm really going to enjoy wherever I end up.
Yeah, baby!
I love you, brother.
How bad do we want it now? You know what's coming. Oh, yeah.
Hungry dogs run faster. And that's this team. Now, who the biggest underdog is? It's y'all, Philadelphia. Y'all have been waiting for this.
Thank you for your help.
It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. No matter what we face, we've overcome it. Nobody counted us in all year. I'm just so happy for every single one of these guys. I'm so happy for this organization. It's been a long time coming, and I'm so happy for the city of Philadelphia and our fans, because you guys have deserved this for a long time.
All the players, all the coaches, the front office, we wanted it more.
You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 2 years, you've been starved in this championship.
And the fact that I have been able to provide that, it's awesome, man.
You did it. You did it.
Jason Kelce, a real one who hangs it up in the NFL. Not only that, but the Kansas City Chiefs gain a super fan. Got to think, right? He's got no football to be played. I'm sure TV contracts will be out the wazoo for Jason Kelce. And for those of you that follow other local media personalities around here, Harold Kuntz of Fox 4, after the Baltimore game, got to pull Jason Kelce aside with one of the better interviews. You get to hear somebody from not your team who plays in the league talk about, in fact, your team.
They're in the dance. They're in the show. It is so hard to make it to the Super Bowl. They've been in, what, four of the last six? So, I mean, it's remarkable to think of, you know, how good they've been in this tenure since Pat Mahomes has taken over. And, you know, obviously unbelievably happy for them. Unbelievably happy for Andy. And I can't wait to be in Vegas to watch this matchup.
I think it's great that he kind of got to have his time. Now, we had Adam Schefter, who was a one-time Richard of the Week because he had to be the guy and had to say, hey, guess what? Jason Kelce plans on retiring at the end of the season. He told his teammates, like, all right, Adam, you know, that's one of those, you know, kiss my ass and just relax. And today, there was the emotional send-off. There was the it comes full circle type of moment in Jason Kelce announcing that his career would be over. An ultimate legend in football will clearly, obviously be a first ballot Hall of Famer. The first day that he is offered on the list, I can't imagine anybody not letting him go through. There's always that one guy, though. He'll get like 97.5% of the votes, and two people will be like, well, he was a sinner. Maybe the greatest to ever do it because his accolades are a 6-time All-Pro, a 7-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, a top sports broadcast. He has his own youth charity, his own documentary, his own line of apparel, 2 Christmas albums as a bonus, and $82 million in career earnings for a 13-year career with one team. That is the beauty of it. In a world of sports where you see guys move all the time, he was a guy that stayed with one team his entire career, and it's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Fame career when it's all said and done. Jason Kelce, not only that, one of the good guys, man. A lot of these guys go to the league, and they get super big egos, and they get all these sort of personality traits. Jason Kelce, I believe, is exactly as advertised. Sometimes you go see musicians and you're like, oh, these guys sound completely different than they do on like the radio or on a cassette or on iTunes. Jason Kelce's that band that you go see live and you're like, yeah, they sound the exact same in my ear when I listen to it on my, you know, my iTunes or my Spotify. And Jason Kelce, who hangs it up after 13 years, extremely emotional as he said goodbye to everyone in the football world.
So this all brings us here to today, where I announce that I am retiring. Where I announce I am retiring from the NFL after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. And today, I must admit, I am officially overrated. Vastly overrated. But fuck, it took a lot of hard work and determination getting here.